Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say, as always, it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I'm glad I've got that name to come to you in. Do you hear me? I'm glad, friend. I'm glad for that name that God said, look, I'm going to call my son Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. If he isn't your Savior, he can be, wants to be. In fact, he came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, I'm excited, as always, about the message God has laid on my heart. The song that Debbie's picked out for us to use today on this program. And I trust that our time together will be a blessing. I've turned my Bible to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, right after the Song of Solomon. Right before the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. And I'll be reading some scripture there from you. But first, Deb's going to tell you how to be saved. And it is by His grace.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted, now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace, I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Come short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by His grace. Saved by His grace.
Thank you, Debbie. What a great story. What a great message. And what a great truth, friend. It's always been by the grace of God. Don't care what dispensation it's been from the beginning, the dispensation of innocence, all the way to the last dispensation that's yet to come. It'll always be by the grace of God. As I've told you, I've opened my Bible, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Listen to what the Word of God says. And I do covet your prayers. I'm going to read the first four verses, and then we'll get some more as we make our way down through the message, time willing, or time availing and Lord willing. The Bible said the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. I want to talk to you for a little while today out of this passage on this thought. when the wheels come off. When the wheels come off, you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Well, I'll give you the illustration of the message, but let me give you another verse of Scripture out of Romans chapter 15. The Bible says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." There's a lot of folks who don't understand what Old Testament prophecy is, or what a picture of God dealing with the nation of Israel means to us today. And I trust that that'll become clear as I make my way down through this message. One time not long ago, I was taking a little trip up to our old family cemetery in Gerald's Branch over in Boone County, West Virginia. When I walked up that old road, I just walked on around to the top, over the top of the cemetery. I just wanted to look down over it. When I got up there, I saw where the wall on the side of the road that the dozer had pushed up dirt so maybe a vehicle wouldn't go over it had been cut out. And I got interested. I got to looking, and I found a pan of old axe and a little piece of the shovel, this and that. And I thought, well, looks like somebody's been going over this. Looks like somebody's been just maybe riding something down over it. Well, the funny thing is, as I topped over that and headed back down to the cemetery, following that little, what seemed to be path, I began to see little pieces of something. I picked up a wheel over there, and a yoke over here, and I found another wheel there, and before long, I found the body of that old wagon. You know what I pictured in my mind? When those old boys got up on the top of that little bank and headed down over the side of the hill, when they started, bless God, listen, they were having a good time. I imagine they were laughing and things were going good until they began to get close to the bottom of the hill, and more than that, the tree that they had run into. Man, you're talking about the wheels coming off. Well, I picked up that body of the wagon and all four of the wheels and the yoke and brought it home. It's still sitting out here in my yard, and I think about it on occasion when the wheels come off. Hey, you know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid the wheels are coming off in America. Now listen, there's a great message here and great lessons for us to learn from this book of Isaiah, if only we will as a nation. As I begin to look at this, let me give you a little background of what's going on here. Israel's just about 100 years or less away from the judgment of Almighty God. The 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes of the nation of Israel had already been taken captive by the Assyrian nation. God had already brought judgment upon their apostasy, upon their forsaking of God, upon their rebellion, upon their being laden with sin. And the southern 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were nearing judgment too. God had already begun judging that nation. His own friend, He had already begun to judge His own nation. So I want you to know, with that in mind, this truth ought to frighten America to death. It ought to bring us back to our senses. It ought to call us to prostrate ourselves before Almighty God. It ought to scare us to the place that we come around to what's true, what we know to be right and righteous. And I want to tell you what, friend. I believe it would if as a whole we still believed in a sovereign God whose universe we live in. But like Israel, we forsaken the one true God. Hey, last week, I believe it was, when this program first airs, I used the text, is America. Is there a remedy for America? Actually, it was, is America beyond remedy? Is America beyond remedy? Well, this is kind of a follow-up message to that. I don't know if she is. I told you last week, I'm afraid she's gone beyond. And yet, when I get in the Word of God, begin to study, begin to seek God's face in prayer, begin to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to my heart, then I come to these kind of places. Listen to what verse 4 says. He said, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors." And look, here's the key. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoke the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Oh, we've forsaken the Lord, friend. We've gone away backwards here in America. And look, I want you to know something. It is Almighty God that raises nations up and puts them down. I mean, it's God who allows them to rise to any place and positions of prominence. And then He moves them off the stage of action, moves them off the stage after they fulfill His purpose, moves them off the stage of actions of the nation. And friend, listen, it's not man that rules among the nations or in the affairs of men, but it's an Almighty God. And if you don't believe me, why don't you go to the book of Daniel chapter 4? Listen to the words of that great king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who, friend, after a period of madness, he came to his senses and he said, I want to praise and extol and exalt the one true God. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, listen, America is a great nation. America is a marvelous nation, a blessed nation. But I want you to know it was God's will for her to raise up when she did. She has provided sanctuary for His chosen people. He has been a blessing to the nation of Israel. And thank God for a president currently sitting in the White House who's got the sense enough and the grace enough about him to publicly and universally, globally recognize Israel as the capital, or Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Thank God for a man like Donald Trump. I don't agree with everything there is about him, but I'll tell you what, when he makes sense, thank God. I want to let you know it. Now listen, I want you to know something. I know Isaiah's prophecy is specific to Israel. But listen, friend, God help us. If we cannot see the application of this to our great nation. Now look, there are about four things in this that I want to look at. I want to look at the invitation, the accusation. I want to look at the condition and then the invitation again. And there are two different invitations. The first invitation you'll find, friend, if you look at it, right here in verse 2, and he said, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. He said, Listen, I want my universe to come. I want all the created intelligences to come. I want you to hear what I'm going to do. I want you to be a witness to my righteousness. I want you to be a witness to this great truth against this nation that I have raised up. Look, the God of the universe, He's convening court, and in essence, I believe, like I just said, friend, He's calling the whole world to listen in. Hey, 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 oh, would to God we'd raise out of our sleep. Would to God we would pay attention and heed the Word of God. Now look at the accusation. My, it was an accusation of rebellion. It was an accusation, friend, of forsaking God and of provoking God. And listen to what the Word of God said. Why, He said, I have nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. He said, well, the ox knoweth his own and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Now watch. He said, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger, they are gone away backward. I'll tell you, friend, the accusation, they're multiple. I mean, it's rebellion. It's rebellion of His children. Oh, it's a serious charge, do you hear me? It is a serious charge to be willfully negligent and willfully disobedient to something that we know to be right and righteous. I'm telling you, God was bringing a judgment on a nation that was only about 5 centuries old. And don't you know, America is much less in age than that. But I want you to know, listen now, I want you to know the blessings that God had put upon them. He said, listen, friend. He said, I've nourished them and brought up children. He said, look, I've done something major, something mighty with this nation of Israel. My chosen, the apple of my eye, and yet they've rebelled on me. I know the stinging satire that we find again in verse 3. He said, well, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Are you talking about a slap in the face? Oh, and it is in this high technically advanced age, friend, but we've got an extremely low spiritual perception in this age. You know what God was saying? God was saying that Israel was dumb as an ox. They were as hard-headed as a mule. I mean to tell you, friend, when it come to spiritual things, when it come to true righteousness and godliness, and oh, I'm afraid America has come to that place today. I believe God's judgment was spot on. I don't believe it was becoming for Israel, and it is not becoming for America today. But he continues in verse 4, and listening to how he continues, man, this is, you talking about scathing truths. You're talking about reality. You're talking about knowing what is on the inside, regardless of what shows on the outside. He said, oh, you're a sinful nation. Isn't, listen, friend, listen. Sin in our nation, it may not be spoken against much, but I'll tell you, it's practiced a whole lot. We've tried to change the definition of sin. We've tried to pretty it up, paint it up. We've tried to bury it up and fix it up. But I'll tell you, bless God, sin is still sin, and it's taken an awful toil on our nation today. It was a nation that was laden with iniquity. You talking about heavy with iniquity. You talking about weighted down with iniquity. It was so gross and so great that there were just a seed of evildoers. They were corruptors. And let me give you the key to this. Listen to what it says again. In verse 4, he said that they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel. They're gone away backward. And that's what we've done in America. Did you see just recently in the news? It was yesterday from the making of this program, and that the Democrats have decided that those that come up in court of the House, they're going to strike the phrase, how is it? So help me God. Oh, it's the same political party that maybe back in 2012, they kicked God out of their platform until people rebelled. I'm telling you, friend, listen, the accusation is what it was because of the condition in their heart. Hey, friend, the accusations were that they had forsaken God. They had provoked Him to anger, and they had gone away backwards. America has. America, friend, listen, I'll die proclaiming that it was a Christian nation in its founding, and it still is in its principles today. There's a lot of idiots that are trying to change us, bless God, from Christian to Muslim, trying to change us from a democracy to a socialist nation. I'm telling you, friend, we need to stand up and speak up and cry loud and spare not. Listen, God gives us an invitation to court. He lays down the accusation, and look at the condition. Oh, friend, it's sad. Look at verses 5 and 6 and following. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Isn't that awful? Sounds like a pitiful condition to me. Look at verses 11 and following. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bulls or the lambs, of lambs or of goats. He said, when you appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When ye make many prayers, I will not hear, for your hands are full of blood. I'm going to tell you the condition is plainly stated. I'm telling you it's easily seen. They were in a state of spiritual apostasy. They were going through the motions on the outside, but their heart was far from God. In the book of 2 Timothy 4, or 3 and 5, it says, he said they have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. In the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 7, 8, and 9, he said, listen, this people, just like Isaiah said in 29 and 13, this people would draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart would be far from me. Hey, listen, friend, the problem was they were in rebellion in their heart against God. God, listen, and yet they were going through their rituals in worship. I mean, they were offering lambs and rams. I mean, to tell you, they were lifting up their hands, and they were going to temple. They were going through the ritual. They were going through the external of their heart. Heart wasn't in it. And God said, I'm sick of it. When you get there to the moon, new moons, when you come to the Sabbath, you may show up physically, but you're not there emotionally. You're not there spiritually. You're not there in reality. You're just pacifying yourself. You're just making yourself feel good, hoping you'll look good to your neighbors. But God said, I see your heart. God said, it doesn't matter what you got on the outside. It's what's on the inside that matters. And please listen, I don't take that anyway. I don't mean it. Do you hear me? And the problem was again, they were in rebellion against God in their heart. I'm telling you, but yet they were going through their rituals. They were following their tradition. They were calling it, quote, worship, unquote. And they were doing it externally as if everything was all right. How about God said, you're making me sick. God said, listen, you're making me sick. Their religion was not affecting their conduct. They sat down to eat like it said in the book of Exodus and rose up to play. I mean, they acted like they were good. They appeared to be good. But on the inside, bless God, they were in rebellion against God. They had forsaken the one true God. They went through their shibboleths and they went through their rituals. And they followed all of those things that they had been taught to do for all of those years. But you know what they forgot? They forgot the one thing that made it real, of their heart. They forgot the sincerity and the truth. Hey, they were doing what God had said, but they were doing it wrong because their heart wasn't in it. And God said they were phonies. God said the worship again made them sick. Oh, look, it was for them. I mean, to tell you how their condition was a spiritual apostasy. And you know what follows spiritual apostasy? Just as certain as night follows the day, and the day follows the night, it's moral awfulness. Now, folks, you look at our land, would you? You look at America. We've been in a downward trend for quite some time. And I believe it all started, bless God, when we began to fiddle with God's Word. When we began to decide that His Bible, the authorized King James Bible, wasn't good enough. That man could tell us what was right and wrong about it. Since that time, I'm afraid we've been on a slide that'll end up in hell. And it seems to me we're looking at a lot of hell on the streets of America, in our homes, in our schools, and I'm sad to say, even in our churches, let alone in our governments and in our courts. And you say, preacher, that's pretty weighty. Well, it is, but I believe, listen, friend, the reality of it is, It's the reality. Oh, they have this spiritual apostasy that they were in, of forsaking God, going their own way, ended up in moral awfulness. Now listen, Israel was guilty. America is guilty. And I want you to please note something. There's evidence that abounds to prove this truth in America. I'm telling you, we're on the decline. And I know where it'll end. It'll end in disasters. The wheels are coming off. Things are falling apart. Bless God, look. When Gibbon wrote a book about the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, he said this. He said, look, the cause of it was the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home. My, how sad that's true in our nation today. Oh, you look at what a mess the home is in America. It is so sad, is it not? My, listen, man, the father has been kicked out. People are trying to change the definition of husband and wife and what a real family looks like according to the Word of God. We're in a mess, friend. In America, the devil knew where to start. What about higher taxes and spending of public money for free bread and circuses? And then we've got some idiots running for public office that say we ought to raise our tax base on some people to 70%. Hey, friend, and then there was a mad craze for pleasure. And look, a decay of religion. A decay of religion that came down to the place of falling into a mere form. I'm afraid, bless God, we're there. But look at the invitation quickly. Come now, he said in verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the snow. Listen, friend, God's long-suffering, but He's also righteous. I mean to tell you, He's long-suffering, but He's righteous. He said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. He said our God is a consuming fire. God's made a charge. Friend, do you hear me? He offers a means of change and cleansing. And if there is a remedy, it'll be God's remedy. If it's not too late, we've got to come His way. We've got to fall before Him. We've got to repent of our sin. We've got to be honest with Him. We've got to come to Him with broken heart, a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart. The Bible said God would no wise cast out. I mean to tell you, friend, if there is a remedy, if there is a way out, if there is a means of getting right, it's God's ray, it's God's Word. But if we continue in our current course, our time's limited, don't you know? I'm telling you, I believe we're right at the bottom of the hill. I believe with all of my heart the wheels have already started coming off. You look at where we're at. You look at what's going. You say, preacher, the economy's good. Yeah, but bless God, I'd rather for the spiritual condition to be good in America and the economy bad than the economy good and the spiritual condition bad. I know there's some lighthouses. I know there's some stalwart men and women still standing, but not enough. Hey, bless God, we need to let God have His way. We need to get down to the business. Bless God, of hearing God. Hey, Lord, friend, the wheels are coming off until the next time.
Every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to pray about, please feel free to write us. We will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truth, PO Box 100004, Charleston, West Virginia 25357. That's Inspirational Truth, PO Box 100004, Charleston, West Virginia. We're on the web at inspirationaltruth.com.
You are my Savior.
That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruth.com. Remember, friends, this is a working thing. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.